The Bering Strait, 50-some miles of water that separates Russia from Alaska, connecting the Bering Sea to the Arctic Ocean.
Over the years, we've seen more tugboats and ships that pass by because we're right on the Bering Strait.
This is Ellen Richard, a resident of the Alaska Native Village of Wales. Melting sea ice is a massive development for ship travel. Instead of going through the Panama or Suez canals, ships can now travel straight through the Arctic Ocean and the Bering Sea during the ice-free summer and fall.
So it makes it a shorter trip to where they want to go other foreign places.
The Arctic Ocean's Beaufort and Chukchi Seas are two massive bodies of water that have been primarily frozen until recently. With this opening of new routes, areas such as Barrow Canyon, a boundary between the two seas, are now exposed to new forms of ship traffic. Barrow Canyon is what's known as a submarine canyon, with depths that can reach 1,200 feet.
So the movement of seawater comes in and it hits those really steep walls, and that seawater shoots up, and so that mixes up everything. So you've got everything just sort of mixing in there. You've got a lot of sunlight coming in from above. That creates really good conditions for plants to grow. So that sort of brings all of that wildlife to this one specific area.
Ben Solander is a spatial ecologist for Audubon, Alaska. Spatial ecology is the study and understanding of a landscape using maps. Audubon began collecting data to map the Arctic Ocean in 2008. Environmentally sensitive areas along these routes are home to 80% of seabirds that nest in the U.S. and to millions of marine mammals. Solander gives his perspective about how ship traffic can affect the ecosystem in the Arctic.
Any vessel, any large vessel, is going to bring a lot of impacts into that area. So some things are like the risk of an oil spill. Like if a ship hits a rock, hits a coast, like their engine goes kaput and they just start to drift into shore, there's a really high potential for an oil spill.
It would take days before a proper response team could get to the Bering Strait. The closest Coast Guard station is located down in Kodiak, an island sitting in the Gulf of Alaska, which is over 760 miles from the Bering Strait. Jack Fagerstrom is from Golovin, another Alaska Native community near the strait.
Where are we going to get our oil spill response from? You know, it's I don't know what to compare it to. It's like maybe the end of the world as we know it, as the song goes.
Transportation Specialist David Saris of the U.S. Coast Guard, stationed in Juneau, Alaska, talks with us about the changes in the north and what we might expect for the future.
I mean, you really got two primary Arctic shipping routes. There's a northern sea route that would go over the top of Russia, and there's a Canadian Northwest Passage that would, you know, take you to the Atlantic Ocean.
While smaller ships have sailed the Arctic before, the Crystal Serenity was by far the first luxury cruise ship of its size to sail the route in 2016. Starting in Anchorage, Alaska, the cruise ship sailed the Northwest Passage above Canada, making stops in Greenland until it reached its final destination in New York City. With only 10% of Canadian Arctic water surveyed at the time, the U.S. Department of Defense assembled multiple agencies to be prepared in the event of an emergency. Solander's work to map the area helps him and others understand the environmental impacts that not only affect sea life, but communities in the Strait as well.
We see a ton of, you know, the cruise traffic in Southeast and how that changes community. That brings in a lot of jobs. That also brings a lot of challenging conversations about, you know, what do we do? Can a community of 200 people support cruise ships bringing tens of thousands of people per day?
Clyde Oxerock of Wales talks about what he thinks traffic through the Strait could mean.
I think shipping would do a lot to help the population of humans, but I think it would be detrimental to the migration of a lot of species. We already have enough boats and noise pollution in the ocean already, and it's just going to increase. A lot of these whales and most of the whales, they depend on sonar to migrate and to navigate. That being said, how will our excessive noise pollution affect there? sonar and their navigational abilities.
Solander gives clarification as to what can happen to marine life when commercial cruises or other ships sail routes that may affect the area.
So this is still a super new area of study, but what you can do is you can like watch a whale and see how it responds. What you'll see a lot of times is the whale swims away, so that's sort of avoidance. Other times the whale isn't able to move away in time, and you do see things like ship strikes, where a ship runs into a whale straight up. And there's a lot of evidence that we see of whales that get hit and survive, but there's also a ton of whales that don't make it.
With ship strikes as one of the leading causes of death for whales worldwide, the Coast Guard has enacted special zones in areas like the Northeast and the Mid-Atlantic, with dedicated speed limits to avoid collisions that can be fatal to wildlife and humans alike. The Great South Channel, a body of water that connects the Gulf of Maine and the Northwest Atlantic Ocean, becomes an area to avoid for any ship weighing 300 gross tons or more from April through July, as baleen whales migrate through the channel for the summer. Saris and the Coast Guard are taking some steps to aid navigation and prevent collisions.
So the project that we're focused on is this port access route study, and it's intended to identify if there are particular shipping corridors that need to be established to prevent vessel collisions. And in the case of our situation here in Alaska, there's certainly environmental areas that it might be best if we steer ships away from those places.
Recommended navigation rules detailed in the Coast Guard's completed Bering Strait Port Access Route Study, also known as PARS, were adopted in 2018 by the International Maritime Organization. This creates a system of two-way routes that establishes basic and voluntary rules of the road for domestic and international ships and does not limit commercial fishing or subsistence activities.
It's almost like if you're driving on a highway where you stay on your side of the highway and the other person stays on their side of the highway, and there's less chance that you're going to run into each other. And then as you come to intersections or places where that route turns, you got to pay a little extra attention there as you're executing that turn to make sure that this is a place where, another ship might also be turning, and gives you an idea to kind of pay a little more attention to your situation with respect to other vessels that might be in your vicinity.
Gullivan resident Toby Anungazuk Jr. has some advice for those planning to travel through the area.
First of all, I'd ask them to not burn that heavy fuel and stay within their shipping lanes. And the biggest thing I wish for is that there's no rust buckets.
The Coast Guard also partners with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The organization aids in gathering data, mapping unmarked oceanologic areas, and tracking weather patterns. Saris says this enables ships to traverse the dangerous waterways in a safer manner.
So we're working with the National Ice Center and with NOAA and trying to figure out, what are the ice conditions going to be doing moving forward? Is that a factor that we need to take into consideration as we, look at what's going to be the best route for ship? Are there areas that are going to be more predominantly ice-free as opposed to others that might not be? There's a lot about that area that we don't have a lot of experience operating up there, and so we're not intimately familiar with the nuances of the weather patterns and ocean currents that tend to have ice accumulate in certain locations and not in others.
Sarah says the Arctic Port Access Route Study is still in development, and individuals and communities can send their comments and concerns to the Coast Guard, where they will take information to make sure the Arctic Ocean is safe for people, wildlife, and shipping traffic.
So we follow, it's a public process, just like if the agency was going to create a regulation, although it's not a regulation. It could lead to a regulation, but it's not a regulation in and of itself. So we publish a notice of study in the Federal Register.
The open comment period will run through January 30th, 2020, and then over the course of the spring and summer of 2020, partners conducting the studies will travel throughout the Arctic to present findings and gather additional concerns that need to be taken into account. For Alaska Teen Media Institute in Anchorage, with support from the World Wildlife Fund, I'm Rowan Pickard.